Coming back in from the break. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barden is my name, and we're here today on this Saturday, 6th of February. We've been attacked today, definitely, by the spooks, but there's a long piece. We'll play it now. One of the last ones I sent you today, James Corbyn, he does a really good interview talking to Patrick Wood. Don't particularly like Patrick Wood, but anyway, about the freedom of speech and the collective damage, the build up to destroying it over the years. 33 minutes. James Corbyn talking to Patrick Wood on technocracy, the noose of technology around our neck. Okay. We spread it over the breaks. Okay. Meaning we stop for the breaks.
Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you in February of 2021 with another edition of Solutions Watch. And this week on the D program, we're going to be talking to someone that you have definitely heard from before if you are at all familiar with my work, because he has been a guest on the Corbett Report many times in the past. That is Patrick Wood. You might know him as the author of Technocracy Rising, or the editor slash webmaster of technocracy.news. Obviously, we have talked about the subject of technocracy many times in the past, so I will invite you to look into the Corbett Report archives for more links to those conversations and Patrick Wood's work generally with regards to the issue of technocracy, which I note, quite happily, has become more acknowledged and better understood in the independent media space. I see more and more people talking about technocracy, and that is largely due to the tireless effort of people like Patrick Wood ringing the alarm bell about the would-be governance system for the future if the technocrats and the elitists get their way. But as always, as is the case with Solutions Watch, yes, okay, we understand the problem, and if you do not, please do look at our previous conversations, read Patrick's books, go to technocracy.news, get informed about what is really happening. But as always, the question is, what do we do about that? And I am delighted to see that Patrick Wood is also thinking along those lines and has formed a new organization that I would like to draw to your attention tonight. That is Citizens for Free Speech at citizensforfreespeech.org. The link will be in the show notes in case you need it directly. But let's bring him on to talk a little bit about this organization. Patrick Wood, thank you so much for joining us again.
My pleasure, James. I'm so glad you're doing Solutions Watch. I've been thinking about this very same thing. I just don't have the resources or the talk power that you do to do it. And you are the energizer bunny of people who can actually talk and just about every conceivable subject almost nonstop. I don't know how you do it, but I'm glad you do.
I'm not so good at talking about basket weaving, but as long as we avoid topics like that, I think I can do it. All right, well, let's get into tonight's topic. And as I say, citizensforfreespeech.org, I think people can get a sense of the direction you're taking this just from the title of this organization. But let's talk a little bit about your own coming to found this organization. What prompted you towards this direction from the work that you've been doing documenting technocracy? Why move into creating an organization around Citizens for Free Speech?
Well, you can imagine I was watching the big tech giants very closely for several years now, and what they do, their behavior, who they're messing with, and so on. And in 2018, James, I just had an epiphany moment when I really saw clearly the collusion that was going on between these tech giants. Before that, it'd been singular issues. You know, every once in a while, Facebook would ding somebody. Then Twitter would ding somebody. But there wasn't any obvious collusion between them. But I noticed this. I really picked up on it big time in late 2017 and said, we're in big trouble now because they're ganging up together. It's bad enough having these technocrat groups, you know, operating kind of independently in a way, let's say, just separate from each other. But when they start ganging up together for a common purpose, that's another story altogether. That's really what drove me to pick up on Citizens for Free Speech, because I saw the First Amendment and free speech under a massive coordinated attack that was designed to destroy both. And these people mean business. I've picked up on that 45 years ago. These people are not shrinking violets. They're not, you know, pansies. They have teeth, and they're using their teeth now. And as we've seen, history is now history. Every month that goes by since about 2018, it has gotten worse and worse and worse. And now it's just so blatant in your face, not even funny.
It really isn't. And again, I don't think my audience needs a great degree of elaboration on this. I've been talking about it for over a decade now, really. Going back to Veracity Videos and other platforms that were coming up at that time, I was telling people, please, let's get off YouTube. Don't give them all your power. Well, here we are. And unfortunately, these centralized platforms have more power than ever to regulate speech online, which is increasingly becoming the only form of speech that's allowed, because you're not allowed to gather in groups. You might be icky humans spreading those icky germs. So you aren't allowed to speak in person, and you're only allowed to speak online in the prescribed ways that are allowed by these big tech giants. So again, I think people are familiar with that problem. Just case in point, I was just banned from uploading to my main YouTube channel for 1 week because, oh, I talk about pandemics and I say things the WHO isn't allowing me to say. Uh-oh. So again, we know the problem. I guess the question is, in how do we parse what the problem is, and then how do we create something to go against that? And I suppose the first line of pushback that you're probably going to get along the lines of the rhetoric you're talking about is, these are private companies. They can do what they want with their platforms. And so what are you suggesting? The government should come in and regulate what they can and can't allow on their platforms?
You know, I don't like government regulation. Just because that makes me nervous, because when the government shows up and the guy says, you know, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you, that never ends well. But on the other hand, there are, I believe, criminal conspiracies going on today that should be investigated. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a politician. I'm not a, you know, Department of Justice or anything. But it seems to me there's some really illegal activity going on, and it needs to be investigated and prosecuted if that's really what it is. You know, if somebody, well, let's just take the example of Parler, for instance, just recently. Parler was murdered. You can't call it anything else. And in one day, three different giant tech companies ganged up on Parler and wiped them off the face of the map. And in the meantime, they destroyed all the investors that had put money into Parler, and all of the employees that were employed by Parler, and all of the data that existed in there that belonged to the users, that was gone. And so, you know, between Twitter and Google and Amazon, they completely annihilated a company. This is murder. You couldn't get away with that as a citizen. I don't care what country you live in. If you and two buddies ganged up on somebody and went to the back room and said, hey, I'm going to get rid of that guy. And what are we going to do to him? We're going to hang him up, or we're going to kill him or something. They would investigate, they'd find you and they would put you in jail for that. And they're not doing that. They're just not doing that with Parler right now. But this is the kind of mean-spirited, I think, criminal activity that's existing right now when companies like this collude together to wipe somebody off the face of the map. That just isn't right, James, any way you look at it.
It certainly isn't, and I think we can all agree on that. So the question then, again, is what do we do about that? And this is, as you say, one of these big questions. Is the Department of Justice going to step in and do it for us? I'm not holding my breath for that. So the question is, what can we do to empower individuals to do something along these lines? Let's talk about the Citizens for Free Speech organization and what you're doing.
Right, and I have absolutely no hope that Washington can save us from this problem right now. And I'm just looking away. I'm not wasting any time even tracking it anymore. What we're trying to do is stimulate local activism. Again, the last line of defense, the firewall, if you will, is the city and community entity, the town, cities, community, whatever you want to call it. The entities where we have local sovereignty to execute policies through the city council, through the mayor and the city council, through county supervisors and so on. The county sheriff has some important role as well. But we have an opportunity within our communities that have been so infiltrated over the decades by Agenda 21 and 2030 Agenda now and all the sustainable development nonsense, which is technocracy, I believe. We can take a stand in our communities to get involved. They're the only people really left we can get our hands around, you know, for accountability. And that's what we need now. It's accountability and transparency. Only citizens can demand that in any kind of a society. So although many cities in America have been completely compromised with this thinking, this woke thinking and this global, oh, goody two shoes for the greater good, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and climate change and sustainable this and that and smart growth, even though we've been infiltrated, it does not mean that we cannot root it out from the ground up. I believe that's our only last hope at this point, is to resuscitate civic involvement. We're training people how to do that. We, you know, communications now has become a lost art. We're offering training programs to our volunteers to teach them how to communicate again in the civic arena. This is just an art skill that's been lost over the last 20 years completely. First thing in a conversation anybody wants today is just, let's bring out the hatchets. You know, we gotta just chop them right now. And there's no discussion. We must bring civil discourse back in. And the framers of the Constitution, James, understood, I believe, very clearly that communication is the watershed of all civil systems of any kind. The First Amendment is all about communications. There's 5 points in it. Every one of them blasts communication. There's no other amendment like it in the Constitution. But you have freedom of expression of religion, which is, to them, was communication with God. That's a vertical communication. Free speech is communication between people, you and me and whoever. Freedom of the press is writing about it. Now, in modern days, you say TV and media, radio, and so on. You have the right to peaceable assembly. That all. What do you do when you assemble? Well, you talk, you communicate. Well, then you have the right to redress the government for grievances. Yeah, like, you know what? Washington, D.C. now has a stinking chain link fence with razor wire rolls on top of the fence. 20,000 plus troops guarding the Capitol now. Who wants to go there and try and redress, get a redress from the government of grievances? It's a crazy world we live in. But this is why I believe the First Amendment is under first attack. When communication stops, fighting begins. It's just that simple. This is a truism. It doesn't need explanation, really, but everybody knows this to be true, if you think about it. Just think about somebody who's been divorced forever. You ask, well, what happened to your marriage? Yeah, you could do doing good. You know, I love both you guys. And what happened? Well, he stopped communicating with me, stopped talking. Well, she froze me out. Every single time communication stops, then the guns come out or the knives come out, whatever. This is what's happening in America right now. I believe it's a societal issue. The reason we're having so much conflict right now is because the channels for communication have been destroyed. That's the First Amendment. That's why it's there. We need to resuscitate it if we're going to have anything to do with saving this country and stopping the slide into tyranny.
You know, you raise so many important points there, one of which is absolutely yes. When discourse becomes impossible, violence becomes the only form of communication that anyone can actually use to express their grievances. And we don't want that, because the government certainly knows how to deal with violence, and they will be able to frame it as domestic extremism and all of this, almost as if they've had this whole narrative prepared all this time and have been working to undermine basic ideas of free speech and free communication so that they could lead us towards this point where everyone is just immediately at each other's throats. You also raise the point, which I 100% am on board with, that local activism is going to be the front line and maybe the most important line in this entire fight, because exactly as you point out, Agenda 2030 has worked largely by ignoring the government, the national government level, and going for direct taking over cities, states, counties, working at that level and infiltrating from the ground up. And that's exactly right. You don't need an army, a billion people to do that. You just need the people who are willing to get their hands dirty at the local level and do something to bring these issues to the foreground. So I think we can have the largest leverage with relatively small manpower. You can do a lot at the local level because so few people bother to engage at that level. They're too busy punching the shadows on the cave wall that is Washington politics or national politics. So let's talk about an idea that I saw that you I got the email. I don't know anything about this, but it was framed as training for citizen ninjas. And I'm intrigued by this concept. I want to know, what is a citizen ninja and how does one go about getting trained to be one?
That is absolutely great. I was looking to see if I have my citizen ninja book at my desk here. I thought I did, but I don't see it right now. Oh, yes, here it is. I'll hold it up for you. This is the textbook for our class. It's called Citizen Ninja, Stand Up to Power, and it's by Mary Baker, an activist in California. And this is not about ninjas that use swords and kill people and climb around walls and dark places and stuff like that. But the idea of being a citizen ninja is using the mental and verbal skills that you learn from this class to navigate through the minefield of the civic arena. You know, communicating with people, being discreet, using situational awareness, learning how to understand who you're talking to, what their level of involvement is, whether they want to just fight with you no matter what, are they ignorant, and so on. And it's basically a lot of common sense, I have to say. But Mary developed this class several years ago in California, and she's trained now in person before COVID, over 1,000 people using this method. Tremendously successful. The training was completely validated by the people who attended and tracking, you know, following up with them afterwards. Well, what did you do with it? What do you do in your local community? And so when I met Mary a few years ago at a conference, we just hit it off. I mean, it was just, wow. You know, sometimes you just meet somebody and you just like feel like you just belong together, right? So Mary is now our national director of training for Citizens for Free Speech. And this is the training that we're giving people. And we want them to become verbal statesmen. And, you know, that it takes a lot of skill and a lot of self-control. The thing about ninjas are self-control. I'm not a ninja. I never studied nothing. I never even held a sword. But I understand that the concept of ancient ninjas is self-control and being able to use the energy that you have available to you to maximum benefit. This is what we're trying to do with Citizen Ninja Stand Up to Power. It's very effective. Will it change the course of history? I don't know. But for the people that are using it already, it's helping them, and it's helping their communities. And it's not just the community, too. Do you know, realize how many families have been broken up because of COVID? There are bitter enemies now within families that used to love each other. You know, brothers, sisters, parents, children. It's absolutely insane. And people, I hear this all the time from people. I can't even talk to so-and-so anymore. You know, they were my best friend. They were, you know, my child won't even, he thinks I'm nuts, won't even talk to me anymore. This helps them too get back and rebuild those relationships and hopefully get some peace back in their life.
You know, that right there is an extremely important issue and one that may be underrepresented even in the independent media space, where obviously we're talking about people's lives, livelihoods, their jobs, their businesses, their ability to make ends meet. But the psychological trauma alone that is happening right now on a global scale is unlike anything I've seen in my lifetime anyway. And of course, it affects me personally as a Canadian living in Japan. When will I ever see my family in Canada again? Under what circumstances? I'm certainly not going to go and be quarantined in Canada for a couple weeks in order to have the privilege of getting out to see my family for a few days. That's not the way that's going to happen. So exactly, there's so much psychological trauma going on right now, and people need to really think about how to deal with that on a number of different levels. So it's good to hear that that's one aspect of the way that people can apply that sort of training. So I understand you're helping to provide that training. Is this an online course that people can take through the Citizens for Free Speech?
We're doing it live right now in a webinar format. And we purchased a large capacity webinar system that allows us to do this. And, you know, we kind of believe that doing it live is better than just doing it recorded, because we, you know, it's not face to face.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Back to James Corbett and Patrick Wood again, okay?
Face contact. I wish we could. If COVID wasn't here like it is now and travel isn't restricted, I would much prefer to have an in-person, hey, let's get together, you know, touch, feel, whatever, and eyeball each other. I'd much rather do it that way. But this is the next best thing, where we can get in a webinar format, let people interact and ask questions, and you know, we can give handouts and stuff like you would in a regular classroom. It works, and it's better than, well, better than nothing, right? Is this what we have to work with right now?
Right. So let's talk about some of the initiatives that you have done or have planned with the Citizens for Free Speech.
Yes, you will find the Great American Mask Ripoff is one of our programs right now. We believe that this whole pandemic thing right now is a violation of the highest order of the First Amendment. Free speech has just been wiped out with these face diapers. Meeting, you know, social distancing just destroys the ability of people to meet. government's telling churches how to run their business. You know, you can't sing, you can't wear a mask, you can't, if you don't wear a mask, you know, you're not supposed to hug each other, touch each other, sit 6 feet apart. This is just insane. You can only have 50 people in your church at a time, whatever. All up and down the line, this whole pandemic thing is just targeted at the First Amendment. The only way to break this is to get people to rip the mask off. We believe the science has completely fallen apart anyway on mask protection and social distancing. There's tons of studies out there now and tons of credible doctors who have spoken against it. And the people that are proposing it now still are changing their story every 2 months. Why would we believe them that they can? Oh, we have the truth now, and you can believe us now. We screwed up 10 times in a row, but we have it now, and we trust us in this, you know? So we're trying to get those people who want to not wear a mask to not wear a mask and just start making a statement that you will not comply. We started the philosophical thought on this several months ago, actually almost a year ago, when this thing started to surface, that whatever role these people give us to play, we just will not play it. In other words, we will not comply. That's one way to put it. But, you know, it's like they're assigning roles to people in society, like people that wear masks. Your role is to wear a mask. You're a supporting actor now. You're on the stage. You're an incidental, what do they call them? But you're out there on the stage. You got to wear a mask. And this is your role. Just walk by wearing a mask. No, I won't walk by wearing a mask. And at this point, it's almost getting to the point for a lot of people. Whatever the government says to do, I'm not going to play that role. I don't care. It's just not going to play it. So, that's why we're trying to get people educated on, you know, the mask issue and the distancing issue. Say, guys, don't go along with this. It's leading to tyranny is where it's going. It's breaking down free speech. It's breaking down communication. It's breaking down the psyche, the human psyche. These are almost torture techniques that have been used in history. This is breaking society down in ways that just can't be repaired quickly. So stop it. And a lot of people are, I have to say. So the Great American Mask Ripoff, we're holding peaceable assemblies on streets, busy streets and cities around the country. We've made a whole bunch of signs and stuff that people are printing locally, and they hold them up and, this person wearing a mask, this is not free speech. I'll send you some images if you want to put them up on the video. And, people are having fun, too, in the process. I said, don't just stay on the local sidewalk. That's your right. Don't go into stores and, hassle the managers and stuff. Just educate the people on the street. Tell them, take the mask off and breathe, dude, especially if you're wearing one in a car. Somebody said on the radio today they saw somebody wearing two masks in a car by himself.
You can never be too safe, right? All right. Well, exactly right. People, I think, it's like a psychological operation being waged against the population generally right now. And I say like, but I really mean it is a psychological operation because, of course, they know that most people don't want confrontation and hassle and don't want to make a big scene or anything. So they'll, a couple of weeks of wearing a mask and then it'll all go away. So they've strung people along for nearly a year now. Along those lines, I think a lot of people are finally realizing that until they stop complying, this will not end. It doesn't matter what injection you allow them to shoot you up with, they are still going to force you to comply until you stop complying. So you're going to have to stop complying, and then you're going to have to learn how to deal with those confrontational situations and hopefully diffuse them so that the people on the other side of it don't become your enemy, but your ally. And that's right. What I assume the Citizen Ninja program is aimed at helping people to do mentally.
Exactly. Right.
And as you say, you also have materials. I understand you have cards and brochures and other things that people can hand out.
That's exactly right. Our no mask card has gotten very popular reception all around the country. It basically says on the front that wearing a face mask poses a serious health risk to me. This was written in part in collaboration with a very well-known neurosurgeon, board-certified neurosurgeon that we know, Dr. Russell Blaylock. And he also graciously created a brochure for us, the risk of wearing a face mask for the healthy especially. And, of course, if it's risky to the healthy, you can imagine what it is to the sick. So, you know, we've been, oh gosh, I say shoveling. We've been sending these out by the thousands, tens of thousands now. And people are still coming and buying them and stuff. We tell them, look, if you just want a prop to make a statement, your appeal is essentially, it's my body, my choice. I hate to use that term, but it really fits, right? My body, my choice. And that's all this is saying. It's saying, God, nobody has a right to force me to do something to harm myself. I mean, okay, what do you want me to, how about if I cut myself? Should I do that? Should I shoot myself? Maybe just get it all over. Nobody has a right to tell you to bring harm to yourself, yet they are.
You can't spread COVID if you're dead, but they're not telling you to kill yourself. But hey, maybe they should, right? Because that'll stop COVID. Yeah, exactly. This is the ultimate breach of bodily autonomy. That is the basic, most basic level of our freedom. And when they breach that, that's almost game over for humanity. So yes, I hope people understand the stakes here. I think they do. On one other note, I also note that you seem to have an area for meetups for members of Citizens for Free Speech. Tell us about that.
We feel that's so very important to start meeting face-to-face again. And just you know, the government can't stop you from inviting people into your house or meeting even in a small restaurant or something if they're okay with it. People need to start getting together, James, and talking face-to-face. They don't have to be your bosom buddies. I mean, you know, if you just call a few people, say, hey, you want to get together and talk about what's going on and figure out what we can do in our community here? That's how you build relationships. And we have to do that. This whole meme, we haven't talked a lot about it, this whole meme coming down from the global elite is intended to break down society and break up relationships. If that's a role that they want us to play, we say no. Not just no, but heck no. We're humans, for Pete's sake. You know, quit treating us like cattle on a feedlot. We're humans. We have needs as humans. And nobody has the right to block those needs. Like hunger is a need, for instance. Does anybody have the right to withhold food from you or to destroy the food chain? You say, no, they don't. I think back to the Holodomor that happened in Eastern Europe, where a whole population was starved intentionally by taking away the means of production of food, the farm equipment, the seeds, and everything else. People just died in the spot. They used food as a weapon. It was one of the greatest war crimes in the history of our planet. It was wrong. This is just as wrong to deny a basic fundamental human need to people to function properly in society.
Well, again, I think people understand the stakes by now. If not, they need to get up to speed quickly. But once they do, I know everyone is looking for things that they can actually do and ways they can affect their own local areas. Tell people again about Citizens for Free Speech, how people can join, what people can find at your site.
All they have to do is go to citizensforfreespeech.org and there's a sign up form right in the bottom of the homepage. And if you read down through it, say, yep, that's for me. I want to be a part of that group. Put your name in and you're a member. being a member doesn't cost anything. We're not, you know, we're about free speech, right? We're not about paid speech. So, you know, people can join freely and stand with us. The first part and first most important thing is awareness to understand the problem. And then, you know, when you put your name on the line, you're standing with us. Within the whole group of members that we have about 20% have volunteered to be volunteers active in their local communities. And anybody can do that in our membership. So a lot of them don't for whatever reason, but we encourage people then to become a volunteer, get plugged into our monthly webinars that we have for volunteers, get plugged into different programs we have and you know, get some signs made for yourself, get a group of people, go out and stand on a street corner and start, you know, telling people out there, hey, take the mask off, dude. It's not good for you. so, you know, that's really all there is to it. It's nothing. We have no magic program. We don't have a magic, AI-driven something or another, you know, to socially engineer people. No, this is just, you know, let's get back to being real with each other and being transparent and doing something in our local communities. And I would want to say, too, a lot of people telling me, James, oh, I don't know if I can do anything in my local community. You know, that's just so foreign to me and whatever. I see, you won't hear these stories on the media anywhere because they're censored, but There have been cities, for instance, that have banned facial recognition software, period. Boom, it's gone. There are town councils that have banned pre-crime software for the police department. Boom, gone. There's one city in California that banned Agenda 21 altogether. They said, we will no longer have any policy in our city that has anything to do with Agenda 21. There's tremendous power in the local city council, and there are success stories out there. You're just not going to hear about them because, of course, they're going to censor those kinds of stories. And they will tell you, you can't do that. You know, don't waste your time with that stuff. You know, you're just play along with the global program or whatever. That's the propaganda coming at us. But we have a lot of resources in local community that need to be utilized. And every citizen has a role to play there. That's a right role to play.
Well, you're exactly right that you're not going to hear those kind of success stories trumpeted in the dinosaur media, whose bread is buttered by the people who are seeking to suppress those kinds of stories. So that's what this type of platform is for people to express that. I would sincerely hope people who have those examples of something that's happened in their local area, a success story, please leave them in the comments. Let other people know what happened, what worked, what didn't work, how could it be used in other situations. Spreading that knowledge is so crucial right now, and I hope that Solutions Watch will be one way that people can get the word out about those kinds of successes as well. Patrick Wood, finally, we are talking to an international audience. I know you're based in America, you're concerned with the First Amendment. Do you have international members of this organization? Are you open to such an idea?
We actually do. We can't deliver any material outside of the United States, but as far as support is concerned, anybody can put their name on the list. We're not restricting that at all. And I have to say, many other countries are struggling with exactly the same issues right now. And, you know, we can't say we're isolated here in the United States. This is a global issue, a global problem, and it's affecting the whole world. It just kind of happens. The United States is really the last large populist group standing in the way of this whole thing. So they have special attention to us. But I personally have great empathy for other people in the world. And I have to say, traffic to technocracy.news is almost 50% on any given day from outside the United States. That surprised me about a year and a half ago, that this starts going up and up and up. And so people around the world are paying attention to these issues. They have the same problems in their countries. They're wearing the face diapers too. They're social distancing. All these policies, well, you know where they came from. They didn't come from just out of the cellar, you know, grandma's cellar. They've been around for a long time, and they're being used as a weapon against the entire planet right now.
All right, well, let's do what we can to combat that. I'm very excited to see this organization coming up, and I hope we can circle back to it in the future and get an update about how things are going. But in the meantime, I will invite people to look at citizensforfreespeech.org and find out more information and see if it's something that they want to sign up to. We're going to leave it there for today. Patrick Wood, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for your efforts.
My pleasure, James. Thank you.
Okay, very good. That went pretty well. But Citizens for Free Speech and How to Counter It. Go to that site and you get a review of what they've been saying there, etc., etc. But wow, we've been predicting things for the last 4 or 5 years, how bad it's going to get, and here we are right in it. Who would have thought they could steal an election in America blatantly, or gargantuan millions of votes, right out in public view, take over the White House, and have us simultaneously clobbered with the COVID disease, which just described there, many aspects of it, with James Corbett and Patrick Wood, to be restricted and locked down and thing. It's an incredible, evil plan, but a lot of planning went into it, and it's part of the deep state and the Agenda 21 of the United Nations based on sustainability. And we are for the chop. We are useless eaters, and we need to be got rid of. Not to mention the fact that 5G and LED lighting is knocking hell out of people. It's only at the early stages here in the UK, but where it has occurred, you've got children very, very ill indeed, waking up 40 times a night with a chronic sleep disorder, nosebleeds, and that is from the high-powered LED street lighting outside, and they have the barefaced, effing cheek doctors, gutless scum, most of them, 90% of them, GPs. And I know enough of them, and I've experienced enough of them through friends of mine, etc., how gutless they are. And they were given this lie to tell by Big Pharma, call it Kawasaki disease, and treat the children for ADHD. Absolute attack on children by the medical profession and the NHS in Britain. And they want people to clapping for the NHS, and I separate immediately. I support the nurses and what they have to put up. It's enough putting up with the patients, but they have to put up with their employer, the NHS. It's a shocking institution, the NHS, and this politicians inviting the big pharma in with their vaccinations. Wow, it's an extinction level event. Absolutely, no other way of describing it. Anyway, we're over a long broadcast piece. One or three or four more short pieces to play today. But I should give out the phone number, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. But is it any wonder that the gun, I see all the articles here about FBI gun background checks hit record high in January after House introduces two gun bills, etc. FBI conducted more than 4.3 million background checks in the month of January, highest number of checks HD has ever recorded in a single month. Surprise, surprise. I'll just go ahead with this article, bring us up to the break. In total, 4.317 million background checks were conducted by the FBI's National Instant Criminal Background Check System, NICS, as it's known as, during the first month of 2021, up over 300,000 comparison in December last year. Wow. 300,000, that's a 12-fold increase in a month, etc. Data from Small Arms Analytics and Forecasting estimate that 2.2 million firearms were sold in the United States in the last month, a year-over-year increase of 79%. Mark Olivier, Director of Public Affairs in the National Shooting Sports Foundation, say the rush to get cleared to buy firearms is a direct result of Biden's administration gun agenda. Sure. You buy the gun, you must have enough ammunition with it. Right? Enough. More than whatever you think is enough for you. That's undoubtedly connected to President Joe Biden's plan to attack the firearm industry by undoing and rewriting regulations and executive action to target the firearms industry, Olivia said in a statement. While we documented what's type of action lies at the crux of the Biden agenda for firearms regulation, and the fact his presence in the White House has caused shelf emptying run on ammunition nationwide, it is impossible to ignore that the record NICS background check happens within the same month that a Democrat member of Congress introduced a gun control bill that, according to Michael Schneider, of the End of America Dream blog, would for all practical purpose end your Second Amendment rights permanently. And Schneider goes ahead to break it down. And Schneider is a very thorough researcher, he really is. If a new bill has been introduced in Congress eventually becomes law, the Second Amendment will still be in the US Constitution. But for all practical purposes, the rights that it is supposed to guarantee will be dead and gone. H.R. 127 was submitted on January 4th, and if you've not read it, you can find the full text here where they highlight it. Well, it's all over the internet. One of the easiest things to find, they won't be editing that out, I tell you. It contains a lot of technical language, and so in this article I'm going to try and break down what it means very simply. Now that the Democrats control the White House, the Senate and the House of Representatives, there's going to be a major push to ram through some form of gun control legislation. If it is not this bill, it will be another one. So we need to be diligent. One of the biggest things H.R. 127 would do is that it would create a national firearms registration system that would literally be accessible by anyone. H.R. 127 establishes the federal firearms registration system that will be accessible by the federal, state and local governments, etc., 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 even the general public. The system will track track and trace make and model and serial number of all firearms, their owners, and the dates they were acquired and when they were being stored, where they were being stored. So if you're a neighbor, a coworker, or someone that just wanted to rob your home, wanted to know how you were armed, all they have to do would be to look it up in the firearms registration system. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, and if an associate of theirs is smart enough with computers, they can hack into your smart meters and find out when you're home. Right? Prisoner of Zendau in your own home. Within 3 months, you would have to report to the government where you bought all of your guns and where they were purchased and where they are currently being stored. Needless to say, if the government knows where all your guns are being stored, it would make it much easier to grab them from you at some future date. HR 127 would also require all gun owners to be federally licensed. That would mean owning a gun would no longer be a right. Instead, it would be reduced to the privilege that the government would take away at any time. According to the bill, the license procedure would include a psychological evaluation. Wow. The licensing requirement mandates that the licensed applicant undergoes a criminal background check and then submits to a psychological evaluation to determine whether the person is psychologically unsuited to possess a firearm. Successful licensees must show they have an insurance policy which will cost them $800. Yay. I know a lot of guys out there that would definitely not want to go through any sort of psychological evaluation by a government-approved psychologist. You know, it's like a public defender defending him. And it would just be that, and you would get to be interviewed by. According to the bill, spouses and other family members would be interviewed as well. For the psychological evaluation, a licensed psychologist will interview individual spouses and at least two other family members or associates to further determine the state of mental, emotional, and relational stability of the individual in relation to the firearms. A person working for the security services in America wouldn't go through as much interrogation as this. Licensees will be denied to individuals hospitalized for issues such as depressive episodes, no duration for license disability specified, and it does not matter whether the individual sought help voluntarily. The goal, of course, is to make owning guns as difficult as possible. Democrats figure that if they can make up as many barriers to gun ownership as possible, at least as people end up owning them. Yeah. Thirdly, the bill would also greatly restrict the type of ammunition that you can own. Finally, HR 127 also criminalizes the possession of large capacity magazines, these carrying greater than 10 rounds, and ammunition that is 0.5 caliber or greater. I know that, he says here, Schneider, I know that all of this sounds utterly ridiculous, but the restrictions in this bill actually sound very, very similar to what Joe Biden has been publicly proposing. Big surprise. During the 2020 campaign, Joe Biden promised a long list of gun control regulations. There is a reason that Michael Bloomberg spent $125 million helping Biden in Florida and something over $600 million nationally in the general election. The agenda includes classifying many semi-automatic rifles and magazines holding more than 10 bullets as Class 3 weapons, which can require 9 months or more for approval and a $200 fee. National gun licensing, red flag laws that let judges take away people's guns without a hearing, background checks on the private transfer of guns, and bans on some semi-automatic firearms that happen to look like military weapons. Gun control is very high on the list of things that Joe Biden wants to accomplish during the next 4 years. That's bleeding obvious. And they are coming for your Second Amendment, and they aren't going to stop until they get what they want. Okay, yeah, and it goes on and on and on. So millions of Americans can see what is happening to our society, and that's why they're quite concerned. 2020 was a record year for gun sales in the United States. So there's doubling and trebling every month, etc. Okay, and there's a second article there on coming up on that on 127, HR 127. Wow. There is no end to it, absolutely no end. And another article to carry on by Biden. In case food isn't enough, expensive enough, Biden wants to redistribute USDA funds to fight climate change. Oh, yeah, that'd be wonderful. Chasing a wild goose chase, if ever there was one. Following the Biden administration's recent climate-related executive orders, while appointing John Kerry as the climate czar, Chief Mason and Heinz Food Company inherited through his wife. Woo. Following, meaning a total life of posturing and seminar language, and no reality of that man's life ever. Following the recent climate change executive orders, the same administration is now looking at taking climate action a step further. The recent orders include a pause on new oil and gas leases on federal property, alignment of financial laws with the objective of the Paris Agreement, and the setting of the new targets for reducing U.S. greenhouse gases. The Mark Carney, who was the previous Bank of England governor, had spent 2 or 3 years of the last term, I think his 8-year term, telling people that only government finance as of 2021 would be for green environmental issues. Only business ventures that were contributed to the green agenda would be financed. And that is the agenda right across the world now. This is an absolute sledgehammer attack on people. You can starve to death you'd be killed with all sorts of infections anyway. Biden is setting his high sights on American agricultural policy. According to new reports, the White House is looking to take advantage of the new funding source from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Community Credit Corporation. During his Senate confirmation hearing, Tom Vilsack said the CCC funds could be used to create a market to trade carbon, oh my God, or help farmers adopt sustainable agricultural policies. Agenda 2130, 100%. Vilsack said these programs could then be expanded and included in future farm bills. Well, they've been... I didn't hear the music there. Are we on a break? No music. Okay. Well, I did. My hearing's pretty good, you know. Okay, we're on a break then. Now. Well, you put up on the screen there, break, okay? I thought we were going to a break, okay.
Effective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Yeah.
ahead, and we'll come back in for the break, the tail end of the second hour. But just finish out this article of Biden's attitude to agriculture. His famine, basically his attitude is famine. The USDA, I've met them, I told you before, and they are something else. They're not interested in pollution, organics or anything else. They're just interested in collecting information for the American multinational corporations like Cargill and the rest. That's all up there in Fort Collins University. I've been with them. And they said, during the Senate confirmation hearing, Tom Vilsack said, that's the agricultural secretary, that the CCC funds could be community credit corporation. You know, that's an agricultural bank, etc., finance farming activities. They have one in most countries. Could be used to create a market for trade carbon or help farmers adapt to sustainable agricultural practices. Vilsack said these programs could then be expanded and included in future farm bills. It is a great tool for us to create the kind of structure that will inform future farm bills about what will encourage carbon sequestering. Oh boy, Agenda 21. What will encourage precision agriculture and what will encourage soil health and regenerative agricultural practices? Yeah, we'll get rid of GMO farming, be number one. Vilsack, Biden's nominee for the USDA chief as his Senate confirmation hearing, blah, blah, blah. Then what is CCC and what is its purpose? There's little doubt that this administration, like others before, will do anything that puts small farmers ahead of the big ag corporations. Will do anything to put small farmers ahead. That's absolutely reverse. A handful of private projects launched recently by the likes of Cargill, red light there, and Bayer, oh my God, another one, have tried to compensate growers for sustainable agricultural practices. What the hell are they involved in that? That's a government matter. Many farmers, however, have been reluctant to make the shift due to high upfront costs for uncertain minimal returns. The fact that Cargill and Bayer have been promoting these projects with uncertain and minimal returns should hint at what form of sustainability we are looking at here. This is all part of the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, where corporations start running everything. Biden's new USDA chief is also a significant clue as to what we are looking at for the future of the administration policy, etc., etc. And green issues. And again, the word sustainability crops up again and again and again, which is destruction of your life, your farm, your industry, etc., etc., and giving power to government and multinationals and to hell with you. That is basically what Agenda 21, I read out Agenda 21 here about 2 years ago. And it's all sorts of flowery language, etc., etc., but it's about rewilding the community and minimizing agriculture and basically fend for yourself. But the environment is far more important than people. But as I say, to think I'm not anti-environment, clean up pollution and get the hell out of farmers' ways and let them grow food that's needed. That is what's required in every country in the world. But the European Union agricultural bill has been a shambles for years with these policies. Okay, we go to the top of the hour break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.